Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Changes in sexual performance are more common than most people realize, and support doesn't need to feel awkward. With MedExpress, everything happens privately online. Start by completing a short consultation reviewed by UK-registered clinicians. If eligible, treatment is delivered discreetly to your home with ongoing support whenever you need it. You're not alone in this. Visit medexpress.co.uk/podcast to learn more.
Let me bang
you, I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jamie, man.
I let you bang.
I let you bang.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Hey, everyone, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm in Singapore. I actually have a beautiful view, but I'll show you guys the view. Beautiful country. I highly recommend. Look at this view. I highly recommend everyone going to Singapore. You can't really see because my computer screen is all messy. I have to wash it. I didn't buy wipes. But Singapore is awesome. Very clean, nice people. Just a really, really fun place to go to and safe. Super safe. Obviously, I'm on this military tour. We went to Guam first, and then we went to Japan, and now Singapore. It's our last 2 shows tonight. Did 9 shows for the military, which those are my favorite shows ever. Military people are just, they don't get offended. They've seen a lot. They laugh at everything. These are like just heroes, and I want to make them laugh. I can't tell you how many times I've done comedy where I look in the crowd, and I'm like, do I even want to make these people laugh? These people just seem just people like, I mean, you obviously want to make everyone laugh. You don't want to judge people or prejudge people, but you get these people that are like, make me laugh, or I don't want to be here. I know comedy, or just I'm here to get offended, or I don't like this, or this is not what I wanted to hear about, or blah, blah, blah. But that's not the situation when it comes to the U.S. military. These people, they've been through it. They've seen it. And it's an honor and it's a pleasure. And I can't wait to make them laugh. I look forward to the shows. And I'm like, I'm going to give them the best possible show that I can do. Everything that I have, I'm leaving it out there. There's very few things that you can do in life where you feel like you've gave it your all. That's why I liked wrestling so much. Because in wrestling practice especially, because sometimes a match lasts, you know, a minute and a half or 2 minutes or 30 seconds or whatever. And you feel like, I could have done more. You don't want, but when you do an hour of live wrestling, an hour of rolling jiu-jitsu, especially wrestling, because I feel like jiu-jitsu, you kind of save your energy a little more, maybe a little more tactical, but you're just spent. And that's how I kind of feel with some of these military tours, these shows. I'm like, I'm doing an hour and I want to give you guys everything. I'm leaving nothing on the table. It's all coming off. And speaking of a guy who left nothing on the table is Don Fry. Don Fry, my hero, my favorite fighter. But I could watch Don. There's no, you know, there's basically no time ever I will scroll through fights on TikTok or whatever where your fight comes on that I know I won't see a great fight. Every fight you've been in, and maybe the last couple few, but every single fight except for the last couple few has been just, you were in great shape. You were prepared. You wanted it. But maybe the one, the K1 one, where you took a couple painkillers and didn't know how to kick. But even that, yeah. You gave it your all. So, Don Fry, how are you, man?
Good, sir. How are you?
I can't hear you. Quite the introduction. Even though I can't hear him, I still can see him, which is more than enough. But basically, I was showing somebody your fight against. Okay, where's the?
Like a little microphone.
You can hear me, right?
Tap the screen a little bit.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
All right. So there was a fight that Don Fry had I watched him versus a guy named Aki Bono, who was a judo champion. I think like a 10, no, sumo champion. Like a 10-time sumo wrestling champion. This guy was, he made Don look like a child. Like, and Don was about 230, 250 maybe, all muscle. And this guy must have been
230, 235. Yeah, he was about
pounds.
600, just under 600 pounds.
Fuck, I can't, for some reason I can't hear. You want to, is there like a feature? Because like, as much as I love doing this, I wish Mayhem had this problem. This is the kind of problem I wish Mayhem had, where I couldn't hear, I can't hear Mayhem because he screams at me. Like Mayhem came out of the womb and his like cry as a baby was like, just fucking screaming. And I love Jason and he's my friend. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get, Jason. Is he going to be at level 10? Or fucking level 10,000. He'll never be at level zero. I don't think. I think you could knock him out, and he'll still be yelling. He could lose his voice. He'll still be yelling. Don Fry. This is a picture of Don Fry. I do a podcast. I tell everyone to be here. Everyone
can hear me yet.
The only one that shows up is Don Fry.
No, and I can't hear me yet.
Like literally, he's the only one that's here, and I don't think it's me because I see the phone
come on now,
and then I see it says. I think he's asking someone for help. There should be a
I'm asking for help.
Let's see. All right, so I mute him. I'll ask him to unmute, and then I'll see. So unmute, see if that works.
How about now? Any luck?
So all right, I'll just do Don's voice. Hey, partner, how's it going, man? Yeah, thank you. I tried to have those fights. Those were great. You know, I just here's the thing. You know, as bad as those guys wanted to fight me, it wasn't as bad as my ex-wife. Oh, she could fucking throw a punch. Let me tell you, nothing hurts you harder than marriage. Don't get married, okay? If you see a girl you like her, run, all right? Women are the devil. They say they love you. They say they want you. You give them everything you got, and then they break your fucking heart. All women, every single one of them. Honey, can you help me with my computer? Yeah, I can't figure out how to put it on. I need you. All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, women are useless. Okay? They can't help you at all. They say they can help you. Nothing. Honey, my fucking leg is falling off. Yeah, I don't have a leg. Can you come out here with one of those scrapples? I know you didn't go to med school, but fucking fix my leg. Oh, on my back. My back, too. Also, I'm selling
Wait,
my house.
Wait, did you tell her to put a strap on?
Fucking fuck the gay neighbor. But listen, let me tell you something. Women don't go. They're good for nothing. They don't satisfy you. I mean, yeah, they'll blow you once in a while, but they're gonna break your heart, honey. Will you eat my asshole? Okay. Listen, I haven't had my asshole eaten in like 6 weeks. So if you could just come over here and just put your tongue up there, yeah. Just fucking while I do that. I know.
Hey, can you hear me yet? You little fucker.
Look at us. Just get right there. Yeah, right there. Oh God. Oh, this is some good shit right here. Thanks, honey. Fucking my asshole has never felt better. So yeah, bitches, they're fucking useless. They're never there when you need them. They never. Oh, right there. That tongue feels good. Yeah, listen.
You make a horrible porn star.
Fucking Mark Coleman. Now there was a man. That guy was the only guy that could. You know, I fucked up. I came in there underprepared. I only did 9 million push-ups and ran for 67 hours for that fight, but I could have tried harder. But yeah, I it didn't matter. He wouldn't share his steroids. I asked him, I saw him, I said, hey, Coleman, come here. Give me that shot right there. That could help me win this fight. And he was a fucking selfish, but I love that Mark Coleman. He's a fucking great American right there. Ken Shamrock, that guy was a fucking, he took my ankle and he fucking cranked it. I still can't walk. Yeah, honey, can you give me that ankle ice? Right there. But fucking bitches are useless. You know who else is useless? Everybody. Yeah, everyone's fucking useless except for me and my dog. Hold on, I got some Mexicans sneaking in my yard. Yeah, and stay out.
All right, don't quit. Right, hey, yeah, brother, so, are you still here tonight tomorrow at the show?
Fucking Donald J. Trump. I fucking love that guy. He's a good American. Good guy. Yeah. I voted for him. I'm going to vote for him next year, too. I know there's no election, but he deserves my vote. Probably in 2028, and then I'm going to vote for him in 2030. Oh, I'm gone. Fucking A. These fucking Wi-Fi. I don't know. My fucking password is grr, fucking teeth. That's the greatest fucking password ever. I just got toxic masculinity, pound. I like to fucking pound things. Where are we? Oh, Adam. Yeah. Hey, what up, partner? So, all right. Well, I don't know where Don is. This is this fucking podcast. So Mayhem said he's coming. He's going to come 30 minutes late. Just fucking scream at me. And then Don Fry can't figure out how to put volume on his computer. And Bill Dawes is somewhere fucking naked complaining about his career somewhere, even though he's opening up for, gay Germans across the world. So what do I want to talk about? So it's always good to have a podcast prepared when no one shows up because, you know, who doesn't want to talk to themselves, right? I mean, it's just great. Anyway, I got to talk to somebody because I'm fucking in Singapore. It was my birthday 2 days ago. Happy birthday, Adam. Thank you. I'm turned 48. It's fucking sad. I spent it alone. I walked around Singapore. What else did I do? I got smoothies.
Shit.
I walked into some karaoke.
Hey, can you hear me?
There you go. Sure. Don's back. Still have no volume.
Now I'm back.
So
can you hear me?
Yeah. Don, you missed it. So
can you hear me?
You were getting your ass eaten just now, and then by your oh, there's a guy with a hat. Well, I don't know who that guy is. That guy basically Don just
went
across the street and said, "Hey, you partner. Yeah, you homo. Come over here and fix my computer. That's the way you do it. Yeah, fix it quickly, too. Yeah, and grow some sack, you fucking loser." When I knocked out Tank
Gavin, you had me muted.
Fucking guy. Hey, he hit me, though. And I
you me? Have me muted. You
mustache?
You me.
I got to grow a mustache?
You muted volume.
I don't
me.
Know. This is like, this is Don Fry Pictionary. So basically, I'm talking. Yeah, I'm a jerk off.
You.
Oh.
You.
That's Ric muted. Flair. All right, so me. He's saying it's me.
Yes.
There's no way it's fucking me, because I could hear.
Yeah.
Now,
it's you.
Now unmute.
You muted me.
There we go. I'm unmute now. So you can hear me,
no
though, right?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I don't know
you.
What.
I
this
you.
Is going to be the best fucking podcast ever. I'm just going to do Don. So is there another phone you can call from? His phone? Use his phone.
Give me. Send the link to his phone.
Yeah, that's good. You know, there you go. So basically, I don't think Don's home right now. I think he's either at a funeral. I think he killed his proctologist for getting too close to his asshole, or he's at something.
Quit
maybe
talking about
you
my asshole,
text
you faggot.
The guy next to you, whoever that guy is, your servant, the link.
Yeah, my man servant. Yes.
On, and then he can come on also.
He's trying.
But I don't know
it.
If that's gonna happen.
He's trying to get
so,
to me.
But
damn.
What else is going on? So the fights. Let's talk about the fights that happened last week. The Ronda Rousey fight. I know we're late. Is there any way? Hold on. Let me see. Let me see if I can call Don.
Right.
I called Don.
I'm trying, brother.
Let's see. Don Fry. Here we go. I go. I used to have him in my phone as Don Fry Legend. So here we go. Let's go. Don.
But now you don't.
Let's see if
you
can
now
pick up the phone. This is great. So I'm calling
and
Don right now.
This
is the first ever guy call someone live on the phone during a podcast because the person does not know how to use sound on his phone. Don, hey Don, what? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I can hear you. Yeah, what's wrong? Is it?
Yeah.
Yes. No, now I can see you too. I can see you talking to me. Now I can see. No, wait, hold on. Now there's two of you. Hold on. Hello, Don.
There's two of me.
Fuck, this doesn't work
okay.
either. How is that possible?
I don't know.
This is just like. I don't. I.
I'm
Don,
on his phone.
His phone worked. I hung up there.
Yeah.
Man. All right. Let's see. Huh? Hold on. Let's see. All right. This might be
can
the funniest. This might be the funniest podcast on purpose and by accident, because no one knows what's
me.
Going on. Mayhem is nowhere to
no,
be found, which
me.
May be a good thing. Sean McCorkle every week says
you
he's doing the podcast.
Me.
Never yeah. actually shows up, but then texts us random facts about his. Yeah. Oh, Bill. Hello?
Hey, sorry I'm late.
If I can't get volume from
hey,
Bill, but I know
how
it's
are
fucked
you?
Up. Can you hear me, Bill?
Hey, how you doing, Don?
Oh, fuck. Maybe it is me.
Good, Bill.
Hello?
Everybody can hear me.
Bill.
You can hear me, but Adam can't.
All right. Let me,
wow, for the first time, I can hear Don better than Adam.
I'm going to end this, and then I'm going to start the whole thing over again. All right?
Okay.
Everyone, come on in like
Adam,
2 seconds.
Can you
I
hear
think
me?
This is me. All right, ready? And I can see you. I can hear you. Yes. All right. Here we are.
Now we got rid of Bill, though. We don't have Bill.
All right. Hold on. By the way, that was hilarious, by the way. Did you like my impression of you getting your ass eaten? Were you laughing at least?
No, I wasn't. It was emotionally disturbing. You know?
I saw you laughing at a couple of them. I did see you laughing. By the way, did you ever work with the Ultimate Warrior?
No.
Did you hear when Rick Rude slapped him and knocked him out or something or beat him up? You ever hear that story?
No, I didn't hear that story.
Yeah, basically, like, Warrior wasn't selling anything, wasn't being a dick, not selling stuff. They got into it backstage. Rude just popped him, and that was it. Like, they said Rude was a fucking badass. Like,
Rude was a bad motherfucker. Rude is a bad motherfucker, from what I understand. Yeah, yeah.
Everyone seemed to be kind of scared of him.
He was a time bomb. Yeah.
Yeah.
He could back it up.
Who was your favorite guy to work with in the WWF back then, or the other one?
I worked for New Japan.
Yeah. Who was your favorite person to work work with there?
Scott Norton. Scott Norton. Scott Norton carried me so many times and made me look like $1 million, you know, when I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
How did he carry you?
He just made me look good, you know. I mean, he sold for shit, you know, that nobody else would have. And you know, he carried the match. Scott was an amazing worker and a good guy outside the ring too.
But did all the guys respect the fact that you came from MMA, or were any of the guys like kind of
resented? No, the Japanese guys resented it, you know, because you know, the Japanese, they go through the young boy thing. You know, they put in years and years and years before they get into the ring. And when you come in just basically off the street, you know, like I did, they resent it. And like Muto and Chono, you know, they didn't like the fact that I got such a heavy push, you know.
How do the fans react to you?
Well, they love me. They love me or hated me, you know. Fuck, but they appreciated, you know, what I was doing and who I was.
Got it. Did you ever? Was it hard to learn the moves?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because you know, you go from throwing 100%, you know, on your punches to just throwing 10%. And you know, it was real bad for me, real hard for me, and real hard for the guys I worked with, you know.
Yeah. How much practice was there before a match?
Not a lot. You know, you were expected to know what the fuck you were doing before the match. And thing is that you know, the guys, they would work out before. They would work out before the match down in the ring, and I didn't know I was allowed to go down there. So I didn't, you know, I never went down there, which caused a lot of resentment. I found out later on because I wasn't going down there. And, you know, they saw that as a sign of disrespect that I wasn't, and I didn't know I was allowed to. I thought it was just for the Japanese boys.
Got it. By the way, I'm in Japan and Singapore. I'm in Singapore right now. I'm doing comedy for the troops, and these are the cleanest countries I've ever been to.
Yeah, they're, isn't it amazing?
Yeah,
there are no garbages. Like, you can't find a garbage. Like, if you have trash, you have to either carry it with you until you find a garbage, or you have to then go back to the store that you bought it from. Which is, if you're buying stuff from a vending machine, you're totally screwed. But
yeah.
So you would assume there'd be trash everywhere. Not the case. Like, they're the most disciplined people. They're so cleanly. And I was thinking almost every girl, except for my wife, other than my wife, almost every girl whose ass I've eaten has been Asian. And I think that this is carried down. Because I've always, for some reason, assumed that the Asian booty was cleaner. And I think that this is a sense of, is this a clean, it's a clean country. Bill, any thoughts on that?
Oh yeah, Asian ass, definitely the cleanest ass of all the asses I've eaten. You gotta stick with the Japanese. I mean, Chinese ass can get a little sloppy, I'm not gonna lie. The Chinese ass, because of all the spices, maybe. No, Dad, what are you talking about? No, but I will tell you this about Singapore. If you like spit gum on the sidewalk, you'll go to jail.
I don't know if that's true. That's the people. Well, I'm not. Really? I don't think anyone's going to test the theory, because if, like, why would you test the theory of, like, see, you don't go to jail? I mean, like, what do you win there? But I don't. I can't see that being a thing. There are no drugs.
Nope.
If you get caught with cocaine, weed, you go to jail for life, like, which, you know, is or a long time, which is kind of screwed up, on one hand, which it is screwed up. On but one of the only good things is that you don't see all these fucking people on drugs, like, zombied out of their mind on the street. Like, you don't see that.
No.
Like, when I was even in China, people were like, they were telling me that women have never felt safer than they are in Asia, than they are in Asian countries. Because if you even get, like, accused of rape or fucking domestic abuse, you're going to jail. Like you're going to jail. So you see women 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, giggling. Like, this, it's not a situation where, you know, and as a tourist, you feel safe. Would I want to live in a place where people go to jail for life for drugs? No, you know.
Yeah.
So, Don.
But I do feel like there's an underground prison system, like, under the city, that's running it like a habit trail of just, like, slaves. You know what I mean? You don't have a country that without some crazy, like, underground, like, weird slave labor or something going on. There's something fishy. It's fishy.
Yeah.
It's like Disneyland. You know what I mean?
Yes. By the way, what did you think, Bill? We never talked about the roast, the Kevin Hart roast.
Well, I mean, my favorite was just how much Chelsea Handler and Tony Hinchcliffe hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
This is, like, my favorite part. Because what people don't get about roast is, like, for you, for example, and Don, and people, like, you always call me gay and make fun of me. And that's fine because we're friends. But most of these people really hate. But most of these people on these roasts, they genuinely hate each other. Like, there are people on that roast who genuinely hate each other.
Well, I think Chelsea is one of these people that, like, was on top of the world. And, you know, you could say how she got there. She slept with the head of E. She admits that. She dated the head of E! Entertainment. He gave her a show. The show was a massive success. I mean, she was on top of the comedy world for a long time. Everywhere she went, every girl loved Chelsea Handler. I mean, I ended up one time, I did Chelsea Handler, and then I went to a strip club in Vegas, and the girl's like, "You were on Chelsea? Oh my God." I ended up, like, sleeping with her. I got, like, residual pussy off being on Chelsea Handler, okay? But now she's not on top of the world. So the game has sort of has went to a whole different way. And I think she's also like, fuck that. Like, when you're on top and you're no longer on top, that bothers you. And she's looking at this going, I'm not on Joe Rogan. I don't like the Joe Rogan people. They blah, blah, blah. They blah, blah, blah. So she's lashing out. And I don't understand. You don't do a roast and then 2 weeks later go, I didn't like what he said. And this, now all of a sudden she's Mrs. Indignant and doing all these podcasts saying, well, Tony this, Tony that. When Chelsea, the jokes you were making were, like, just on your show back in the day. But because you were Chelsea Handler and you were like, shit, people, it's like, and also she took a side as, like, she went anti-Trump and she went anti-this, anti-that. And then those guys, some of them are more nuanced. Some of them are you know, more, let's say, whatever, MAGA. But when you do that, you're going to alienate a lot of people. And I think that they don't understand that. And when you're on top of the world in the comedy business or in the fighting business, people will put up with your bullshit. I see it all the time. I see all these actors and comedians. Yeah. When they had the number one show, they were treating people like fucking dog shit. And people were, I'll get this for you. I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. And then all of a sudden, when the gravy train runs out, these people are not getting your shit. And that you're like, wait.
It's called marriage.
Well,
it's called marriage.
But you're still acting like that. But you still expect it. You still expect people to do that. Now, Chelsea obviously is still rich. But the fact that Chelsea Handler has to say, look, I'm hot and I'm rich. And I'm fucking wealthy. It's like, okay, first of all, you're not that hot. Let's be honest. let's keep it real. I mean, there's a lot of hot people out there, and, you know, she's attractive, sure, but nothing where, like, nobody's going, oh fuck, dude, I'm gonna go jerk off to fucking Chelsea Handler right now. Most people won't kick her out of bed, you know. But let's not act like she's fucking Sydney Sweeney right now. Let's just
Did she literally call herself hot like this?
Yes. Year? She goes, I'm hot and I'm rich. And second of all, who the fuck says I'm rich? Like, and you're a comedian and you want people to like you and you're, yeah. I'm rich and I'm hot. Who the fuck talks like that? You know, like.
This guy, no Adam Hunter. What a fucking egomaniac here. Guys, just a dipshit.
No, I mean, never. I mean, one of the things people like about Theo Von is how rich he is, but he'll never go, I'm good looking and I'm rich. He's like, I'm driving a fucking Ford Focus. First of all, you're not driving a fucking Ford Focus. Okay, but I think people will appreciate you more if you don't say I'm hot and I'm rich. And then for her to go, well, I'm so offended by these jokes. You're a comedian. Like, if you're a true comedian, I feel like you don't get offended by jokes because you know that jokes all start out in the same place. Jokes are like fucking children. Yeah. They all come out of the womb. Fucking day one, they're all innocent. And then they veer into different things. But I don't know. To be honest.
That's a very interesting. I've never heard that analogy before, but I do like it.
You know, it's like, I was on Chelsea Handler once and then she goes, she didn't have me back. And I guess she's like, I didn't like his lame one line. I'm like, I was prepared. I'm sorry. I was prepared. I didn't just give a statement of like, oh, hell no. Or whatever the fuck people are on the whatever. But Chelsea Handler, like, like her best friend, Heather McDonald, who I like Heather a lot. She just fucking completely shit on Heather. And if you know Heather McDonald.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, they have a huge feud. And if you know Heather, Heather's a kind person. Same with Kira, you know, Sultanovich, another girl. Like, Chelsea was mean to a lot of people. A lot of people.
Yeah.
She was mean to a lot of people. And her whole thing of, I'm not racist, but then I had to remind 50. She goes, I had to remind 50 Cent that he was a black man when he said he was voting for Trump. Like, really? Like, you had to remind 50 Cent that he was black? Like, really?
Yeah.
You had to remind him. Like any white girl that has to remind anyone who's white who has to remind someone that they're black is I have nothing else I want to hear about. It's just fucking delusion. Delusion fucking delusion.
But I feel like the thing about those roasts is whoever gets the most look, Tony Hinchcliffe, he won the roast. He said the most offensive joke. All people are talking about is Tony Hinchcliffe. So
also had like 20 jokes in a row that were, I would say 17 were bangers. Like he didn't just come out with one joke. He was joke. Look, do I think the George Floyd joke was a great joke? Not really, because it had nothing really. It had nothing to do with
the roast. I thought it was fucking funny. I thought it was necessary. Fucking, you know, and it's time. It's fucking time. It's not too soon, you know. Fuck.
No, I didn't think it was a great joke because it had really nothing to do with the roast. It was just a joke for shock value of like of right now, you know, George Floyd is in hell and he's laughing so hard he can't breathe. That was the joke. But it wasn't like I felt like it wasn't in like he was killing it up to that point. He didn't need. I also heard that the room was silent there, and then they put in a laugh track. I don't know for that joke.
After that joke?
That's what this girl Jess Hilarious said, who was there. She's like,
"Oh wow."
So I don't know if that's true because I thought it was live. I thought the whole thing was live. Wasn't it live?
Yeah.
So that makes no sense.
Well, they never do anything totally live. You know what I mean? They can't do anything completely live.
You're right, because there were jokes that were cut out. So I guess it wasn't live. So I don't like that because I think if a joke's gonna bomb like that, let it bomb, you know, and then that's even crazier, you know, like don't patch it in with laughs because then that's even, you know, but I don't know. I think if you're a true comedian, you can not like jokes, but you can't get offended by jokes because it's just like, look, you know how many fucking Jewish jokes I hear all the time? And I'm just like, okay.
My God, particularly now.
You know, I'm sorry. Right, okay. You know.
Well, Jews aren't allowed to be offended. You know that. That's the way it is right now.
So, Don, you live streamed, or you were doing something with the TKO Ronda Rousey fight, right? Because like you were doing a live.
Right.
What were your thoughts?
All 8 seconds of it. Yes, exciting.
So, what are your thoughts about the whole about that whole event, starting with Ronda?
It's fucking pathetic, you know. I mean, you got Gina Carano coming in there and dancing. She's dancing in the ring, you know. And like I said, that right there is the difference between female MMA and male MMA. You know, you don't usually see a guy go in there and start swinging his ass and dancing around and blowing kisses at people. You know, it's just, it was pathetic. It was fucking pathetic.
Well, Paddy Pimblett in his last fight was doing the exact same thing and then got the shit.
And he got his ass kicked too.
So you don't see guys winning and doing that, but you do see guys doing that. Now,
you know what? You do stupid shit like that, you deserve to get plastered and get laid out on the fucking on the mat, you know, or your arm broke or what have you, you know.
I mean, what I don't understand is, like, okay, so do you think Gina's strategy of throwing a kick was pretty stupid when you knew that the biggest, like, all right, someone wants to get you to the ground and then you throw a kick? Well, that's the person to catch the kick and take you to the ground, right? That's
right.
Normally, right. What they say is don't kick a wrestler in the beginning if he's in shooting distance because you're going to get taken down, right? That's
right.
And that's exactly what happened.
That's just whoever drew up her fight plan is a complete idiot. You know, I mean, that's pathetic. Her fight strategy was fucking pathetic.
Now, there's a guy who I actually retweeted on Twitter who said, "Listen, please, Netflix, never let Ronda Rousey do the matchmaking, because she says she's basically the Hunter Campbell, which I don't think she did the matchmaking, but she put it together. She, you know, fought a girl that was like hasn't fought in 17 years, had to lose 100 pounds, was like was obese, and now is parading around like she's the world champion. Then you had Nick Diaz." Or Nate Diaz, who had no business being in there against the king of violence. Basically, he was a shell of himself. You had Gino Dos Santos get knocked out by a karate champion
that was 20 years younger.
And he said the whole thing was basically a farce of a money grab and was an embarrassment to MMA. Do you agree with that?
Game time. NFL playoffs. One of the greatest things you can do is go to an NFL playoff game. Okay. You get to go with other fans. You have fun. You take your family. Listen, Game Time has a new feature called Game Time Picks that makes getting tickets for events even easier. Game Time filters out the fluff to show you only the incredible deals on great seats. You don't have to waste time searching through thousands of tickets to find the best value, okay? Make it, you can save time, and saving time is money. Time is valuable, all right? You pick an upcoming game, you browse through the ticket deals on Game Time Picks, and it's so easy. I do it all the time. I go to concerts on with Game Time. I go to NFL games. I go to WNBA games. Okay, you can go to MMA events, all right? They have curated deals that make it easier to find the best price, to get great seats. They have the super deal, which is the best value for that event. You get the seat views, so you're not like stuck behind a goalpost or you're sitting in the parking lot, whatever it is. They have the lowest price guarantee, and they have event cancellation protection, job loss protection, et cetera. All right, go to Game Time Picks. All right, they make it easier for sports, concerts, comedy, theater. They have all-in pricing. You get the seat views, you get ticket coverage, and you get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. What are you waiting for, people? Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use the code CLNS for $20 off your first purchase. That's right. Create an account, redeem your code CLNS for $20 off. All right. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. I'm telling you, it's awesome. You're going to thank me later. Check it out right now.
It is an embarrassment to fight sport. Completely, not just MMA, but boxing, karate, judo, wrestling, any kind of fight industry there was, that the whole thing was an embarrassment too. Yes.
Bill, your thoughts?
Now you're talking specifically about the Nate Diaz fight?
The whole thing.
The whole thing. I mean, I didn't think that the Nate Diaz fight was necessarily embarrassing. Did you?
I just thought Nate, you know what it was? It's the tricks that Nate used to be able to get away with. You just clearly see that, like, when he was turning his back and sort of like, doing like that Philly shell, but it was like almost to the point where he was like not even facing Mike Perry. And then there was a point where he went to the ground and I'm like, oh shit, he actually make it to submission. But you're putting Nate against a guy who has never been stopped, who has a head that's just like, you can't hurt. And who's also been super active, who's the bare knuckle boxing. The matchup actually, you know, while on paper, that matchup I was the most excited about. But once I saw Nate and the way he was, I'm like, oh God. I mean, how often do people have to stop Nate Diaz fights? It doesn't really, it's not really a thing, you know? And it was also sad though. Look, hindsight 2020, it was sad because everyone that you wanted to win lost. You know, so I wanted Nate Diaz to win. I like Mike Perry. I wanted Nate Diaz to win. You know, I wanted Gina Carano to win.
Yeah.
Especially because of how, you know, Ronda saying all the crazy stuff. And then I also wanted Junior Dos Santos to win.
Yeah.
So now you saw three people that I would say a majority of people wanted to win get the shit beaten out of them.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so that's also, and it also smelled like a Jake Paul event. I know Jake Paul was part of the matchmaking. Jake Paul's brilliant of like, let me find guys that everyone remembers in their prime, fight them 15 years later, and then go around and be like, I beat Mike Tyson or I beat Anderson Silva.
Yeah.
So it had all the makings of like, this is, but it didn't have to be that way. There was one fight on the undercard where the guy was 16-1 who the UFC turned down. I don't know who he was. That was actually a good fight. Some of the undercard wasn't terrible, but I don't know. I mean, basically also the money that they got were like $2 million. Ronda got $2 million. Gina got $1 million. Dos Santos got, I think he got, Francis Ngannou got $1 million. The other guy got $100,000. That Francis Ngannou fight was, he was fighting a blown up 205 pounder.
Size is crazy.
Yeah. But Francis gave that guy, you know, his bonus money, which I thought was cool, phenomenally cool. I really, really thought it was unbelievable. That was really, I mean, especially since Francis came from nothing, you know, shoveling sand, eating sand, you know, fucking, there he is giving away $100,000. That just elevated my respect for that man.
No, when I met Francis on my show, I was making fun of him. I was calling like an Uber driver. I had every name for him. And at the end, he gave me a huge hug. He invited me to come with him to the show. He saw me at the event. He, come here, buddy. He put me in a headlock. And you know, the guy had a child pass away recently. Like, he's been through some
shit.
He's been through a lot of shit. So I think he gets a lot of unwarranted hate. And I don't, you know, and it's also so stupid because he beat Tyson Fury. I thought he won that fight. I mean, the next fight he fought Anthony Joshua, which he should have lost. The guy was, 30-1 versus a guy who was 0-1. I mean, the whole.
Why does he get hate? What's all the hate about Francis? I haven't really heard all of it.
I think people think that, number one, he didn't fight John Jones. And he walked away from the UFC.
It's not his fault.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. To go to the PFL. I think that was it. I think when he got fucked up by Joshua, that was like people were on the bandwagon and then off the bandwagon. I don't understand it either, bro. I honestly don't. Like, I nothing but love for Francis Ngannou. So Dana White announced while Ngannou was walking to I think it was the Hexagon.
Oh yeah, I heard that. Yeah,
that Max Holloway will fight Conor McGregor, which everyone's like, Dana, I can't believe he did that. Like, so what? People are just gonna check their phones and go back to watching the fight. like you hear this information and you're like, okay, cool. Like how stupid do people think that stupid people are? Where they're gonna go, oh shit, Max Holloway is fighting McGregor.
turn off this Ngannou fight. I have to contemplate about this for 30 minutes. Like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like, so anyway, I think I don't see how Holloway doesn't run through McGregor at this point. McGregor
hasn't fought like what, 3 years, 4 years, three, four years,
6 years. He's on like a two fight losing streak. I think it was Khabib and then Poirier. And then he also lost in boxing to Mayweather. I'm pretty sure he was jacked out of his fucking mind on roids.
Of course he was.
I mean, he's doing movies. He's had numerous court cases against him, cheating allegations. It seems like he's been doing a lot of cocaine. Max Holloway has been doing none of that. He's just been training and fighting. Granted, McGregor has that one punch fucking thing where he has that one hitter quitter, as they say. But Don, who do you think wins this fight?
I go with Max. I like McGregor, but I think he's got too much stuff going on in his mind with his businesses, you know, and he's got too much going on to concentrate solely on the fight game.
Yeah, it's like Sinbad said, you're funniest when you're riding the bus. That was a quote by him.
Hilarious.
So that's...
Hey, we're done. What's the longest you've gone between fights, Don?
Well, I don't remember, partner. I really don't remember.
Also, Mike
probably Tyson. Not more than like a year or two, right?
Probably a year.
So Mike Tyson versus Mayweather has a move to fall. Why is this happening? And why am I going to watch this?
Because people are stupid enough to pay for it. You just answered it. People will pay for it.
The sad part about this whole thing is I think that Floyd Mayweather is going to beat Mike Tyson. That's the worst part about this, is that Mayweather is going to just run around and Mike's going to get tired. He's going to throw five punches around, and it just sucks. Cause you see, this is like watching a Guns N' Roses or watching a band that used to AC/DC. And then you see them on TikTok now, or David Lee Roth. And you're just like, no, please make it stop. And the music's still good, but they're like, they're being rolled out of there and they're just, they can't move. And they're still wearing the same outfits. Like David Lee Roth is still wearing the spandex, but now his dick looks just
no way.
Yeah. He's not wearing underwear. His dick is tiny now. It looks like an old man's dick. And like, it's just fucking, I'm sure Don's dick is still huge, but I'm just saying it's terrible. It's fucking, it's awful. The worst is I left during Motley Crue. I was so excited to go see, it was the Hair and Band, and it was like Warrant, I think it was Slaughter, Poison was great, and then Vince Neil went on, who they call him like Vince Meal. He's about 350 pounds. I'm like, he's going to have a heart attack. I don't want to be here to watch him die. I left after the second song, because it was, instead of Girls, Girl, it was like Grills, Grills, Grills. He was singing every fucking third song. Like Tommy Lee was still good. It was every third word. It was pathetic. And I'm like, I understand you guys need money. I get it. Save your fucking money so you don't have to do this. Have grandkids, play with them, show them your old videos, open up a bar and just play your music back when you were in the 80s. You could feel cool and chicks could think of that guy while blowing you. But don't do this. Okay. And the worst part, I'm still going to the concerts. I still look for, I'm like, oh.
It's your fault, Adam. It's your fault. It's because of you, people like you.
Yeah, you're still looking through the spandex spread. You know, look at this packer.
I am. I'm still doing it. I still put on the headband, but now my fucking hairline, it's going back and back. And it looks like I just have cancer at this point. And I'm wearing it's awful. It's fucking awful. All right. All right, let's talk about some news stories. According to a new study, women are no longer into dad bods, but prefer lean builds with not much body fat.
Just my luck. Just my luck. I got the dad bod down tight, man.
Were women ever into this? I feel like these were guys that told women they were into dad bods, and people just went along with it. But were women ever seeking out dad bods, yeah. Bill?
No, they weren't. As someone with a dad bod now, trust me, women liked me way more when I was fit.
Yeah, this is like the same thing that happened with men. But they're like, oh, body positivity. And they started putting like obese girls in swimsuits. And all of a sudden, every single comment is like, yes, and slay queen. And oh, you go, girl.
You're so brave.
You're so brave. And I'm like, I'm being tricked. Look, don't get me wrong. Like, they're still bangable, these girls, especially if they got a pretty face. The worst is when someone's like fat and has a pretty face and they lose weight and you're like, oh, before you had potential. Now I know what you look like. But I'm saying that's this is all a ruse to sell food.
Yeah.
Or
next you're gonna see an article like women prefer men who prematurely ejaculate. It's just men putting out these psyops to trick all these women thinking they want something they don't want.
At the same time, if you have enough money and status, women will overlook the dad bod. Bill?
Of course. Of course. Yes, of course. Because I have no money and a dad bod. That's why I'm not getting laid.
That's why it's not fair for the guys like Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg to like get ripped now and be fucking jacked.
Yeah. Because
they chose the other way. You already got rich. You went the other path of you invented Facebook and Amazon and you're getting pussy. You can't now relive everybody else did. Everybody else went to the gym and got jacked and did that, and now they're broke, or now they're struggling, or now they got to do shitty jobs. You went and invented shit, but you can't have it both ways. This is people trying to have it both ways, and I think that's why people resent them. All right. So there's a House Democrat. They're trying to distance themselves from this congressional candidate, Maureen Galindo. You hear about this? She's winning in Texas.
No.
She's in first place in Texas. She wants to turn an ICE facility into a prison for American Zionists.
Oh, my God.
Which I thought they already had that. It was called like Holidays with the In-Laws. But yeah, they want to do that. And she's also a sex therapist. And she's in first place.
Oh, my God.
Does anybody – is sex therapy a real thing? Do you have to go to school for this? Or could you just say you're a sex therapist?
I think you can just say you're a sex therapist.
By the way, are you on Ocean's 11 right now? Where the fuck are you walking?
I'm in a hotel going to do a heist. No, okay. I'm in a hotel going to do my show. I have a show in like 10 minutes.
All right. So, Don, have you heard about this influencer named Clavicular?
No. No.
All right.
I haven't.
He's this like 21-year-old kid, and he's shredded, right? But he's doing all kinds of steroids. And he's doing all kinds of drugs and this and that. And he's all into look maxing. His thing is look maxing, where he's
look maxing.
Yeah, where he's taking a hammer and chiseling himself.
No, that's what I've been doing all evening here.
Oh, finally,
in them hammers right there, baby.
You're having such a peaceful time.
And the guy's looking. Yo, face, Don Fry, I'm max looking. Look at my face.
Look maxing.
No, I'm max looking. Motherfucker's a whole different thing than I made up.
So now there's a thing called ball maxing, right? Where people are.
Well, obviously, I've been doing that. I went on a constant diet of celery, vitamin E. Bro, I got goat's milk. You have no idea what I'm taking to get my balls as big as beach balls. I'm tossing them out to fucking kids.
I'm not kidding. People are injecting their balls with filler to get them as big as grapefruits. Right, because I think because of all the steroids, their balls are shrinking, right? And so now they're putting filler in their nuts to get them as big as grapefruits. Which, who
damn,
wants,
bro? Hey, who why stop it? There? Why
and then
stop
they put
there?
Their spandex,
yo, bro. I'll be up in there at basketball level. Why, if I'm going, I'm going hard.
Basketballs. So anyway, the guy goes on the Logan Paul. First of all, we got to stop making these people famous. That's also the problem. The guy, like, he met John Jones, and John Jones was like, I like your hustle, and Clavicular.
Oh, my God. Testicular? Is he getting those grapefruit balls or what?
Well, his whole thing now is he says he can make his penis grow by tying it to weighted shopping bags.
Bro, so, I can make my penis grow by looking at clavicular space.
So he's now banned from Whole Foods. But yeah, so he's basically putting shopping bags on his dick when he's driving to making his penis longer. Don,
as one does.
Don, you ever done that?
No, I have never done that. I never had any interest in doing anything like that.
Jason, have you ever done that?
Obviously,
women look, say you're very young.
You can't see on camera, but you know I've got the shopping bags on. In fact, I have a shopping cart that I push my penis around in. You know, I'm never in frame that way. You know.
You have a shopping
cart. One of those little hand baskets for that.
Yeah. Exactly. It's from the Eckerd Drugs parking lot. I stole it when I was 15.
Bill, I feel like you were like patient zero for looks maxing. I feel like you just, you know, but you don't seem, you would never put a hammer to your face to make yourself better looking, right? Oh, I can't hear you. You're actually...
Yeah, that hammer is called Botox and filler. This dude is like more than a... He's like three Orange County housewives in one.
Bill? Me? I've never done such a thing.
We know that you're 75 and been prolonging your career like Tom Cruise with a mix of Scientology and Botox along with a couple of children's souls.
Bill, do you
trust me, I would love to.
So what are your thoughts about this? First of all, this guy is famous now. I watch video. Women are throwing themselves at him. Like, I see women are like, and he's turning them down and being like, oh, you're...
Bro, I'm trying to get at him, bro. He won't get back to me on Twitter.
What do you think about this culture, about looks maxing, about ball maxing, about all this?
I mean, come on. What do you look at me.
But
clearly, I'm not that into it.
But what does this say about men now? I mean, it used to be... Like Don Fry was like a shredded, hairy chest, fucking American Speedo. And women were just, women are still texting me about Don Fry.
Of course, me too.
Do you think women, are they throwing themselves at clavicular to get on camera? Or do you think women really like this whole chiseled 12 pack?
I think women like the cowboy more than any man, any archetype in the country. The male cowboy archetype is number one for sure.
So why are 20-year-olds doing this?
Because everyone's been emasculated and neutered and turned into gender ambiguous creatures.
Speak for yourself, bro. I'm man as ever, and I'll bang clavicular as soon as he shows up.
Jason, you had a show on Fuel that didn't go, but it was actually a good where you could make. You were going to make people more manly, right?
Wait, what the hell? How do you know about that, bro? You guys really do control the media. How do you know everything?
You told me about that, and then you ended up going mad. You got mad at the executive producer because you said he was the most unmanliest person you've ever
seen. Yeah, it was shocking. They were telling me how to tell the dudes how to be manly, right? And it was the most effeminate dudes on earth. I was like, are you guys... You're doing an impression of manliness. This is stupid. Like, what, tire runs? What the hell are you guys
talking
about?
But how do we get kids to go, listen, you don't got to put shopping carts on your dick. You don't got to jam your face with a hammer. Like, it's okay. Just go to the gym.
I'm working on it, bud. I'm working on it. Welcome to Mayhem's Locker Room for season one right here, baby.
All right. Spencer Pratt revealed. If he's elected mayor... He's
USA! USA!
Sorry, he's going to turn the 19-room mayor's mansion into housing for single mothers.
Is he going to live there too? I'm picking up what you're putting down, Spencer. You let me know if you need a bull in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Don, you think that's a good idea?
No. Fuck no. Hey, you know what? I'm on the other end of the spectrum. If you're fucking, you're a whore. And you get pregnant, and you're stupid enough not to have the guy's name and number. You deserve to be homeless with your little bastard child.
All right, the views of Don Fry do not reflect anyone else on this podcast.
Whatever, dog. That's like one quarter of America right there, bro. We're gonna be living in a Handmaid's Tale by the end of this shit.
I mean, look, but I think that Spencer doing so is actually trying to win over the single mother vote.
Hell yeah. You know, they ain't got nothing to do except vote.
That's it. And bitch and complain about, you know, their their father, the father of their child, who banged him and took off.
My baby daddy fucked me and took off.
All right, so I don't know if you guys. All right, also another news story that I'm sure is going to go really well for this podcast is Jericho, Long Island, which is close to where I'm from, has had 21 valedictorians this year, and look at look at them.
That's fucking great.
They all seem to have one thing in common, which is not just high car insurance, but yeah, one, two, three, four, five. It looks like 6, 7, 8, 9,
6, 10, 7.
11, 12, 13, 14.
Really counting Asians right
it looks
now?
Like, it looks like 18 out of the 21.
You should say one little, two little, three little Chinamen.
It looks like 18 out of 21 are Asian. Jason, you're very immense.
I'm the Asian expert, huh? Because I got Japan LA and JapanLA.com.
Well, just spent a lot of time in Asia. Don's a lot of time in Asia. Why are they so much better at school than it's the parenting, right?
Yeah, parenting and discipline. They have discipline, you know.
Yeah. Bill, same?
Yeah, they're still allowed to beat their kids.
Oh, no, I think they're at a genetic advantage, and you know what I mean?
That's racist.
Genetic? What's the genetic? They're just smarter?
You know, they just got like an abacus upstairs.
I'm with Don. I think that the parents aren't accepting bullshit. You know,
I thought Don was with eradication. I wasn't sure what was going on there.
I think it's parenting. I think Americans were coddling our kids. We're telling our kids, hey, it's okay as long as you tried. Blah blah blah.
You think there need to be a lot more tiger moms in the suburban white Karen crowd?
I think there's elements of that of what's successful in that. And then there's elements of like, probably there's also a lot of Asian kids that what I hear, there's a lot of suicide or depression, you know, like people that just
obviously, you know? If you don't become a lawyer, you deserve to die. So you don't become a doctor, you're out of here. Just go ahead. I do not condone those actions, but you know, I'm saying you've dishonored your family, seppuku.
Right. I'm not saying any of what he said is. He's saying
don't unseppuku yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I'm saying that there's elements of like you want your kids to succeed, so you want to be hard on them. At the same time, you don't want to coddle them, and then you don't want to push your kid too far.
Well, they better succeed.
There's a happy balance in life. It's almost like when I see a kid who's like a phenom wrestler when he's 7 or 8. You know, you're like, okay, great, but there's a good chance of you burning that kid out by the time he's 12.
No, you have to abuse him. You have ignore him.
Agreed.
Yes. All right. You have to abuse so we're not him get and ignore any, him.
I'm actually trying to have a real conversation here. Of course,
obviously you're talented, so you're supposed to win. Like, I shouldn't even high-five you.
All right, so we have that. All right, so the CEO of Trader Joe's.
So what level did you coach, Adam?
High school and
I'm coaching professional fighters, okay? And these guys are all very, very talented. And if I blow all of them, they blow up, their head gets so big, they don't even come to training. Now, if I coddle them and tell his little fat ass he can eat whatever he wants and you do what you want, bro, he's not going to become a champion. You're not going to be Don Fry.
Right. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying, Jason, is exactly, there's the balance. You have to know what it's a push-pull game.
What I'm saying is the opposite. It's that push, pull, whatever. The guy that is super talented, you have to even push him even harder. You have to be mean to him or he won't get it. Like, it's like, it's the craziest thing, bro. The most stubborn guys are the best.
Yeah, okay, but for example, let's take the kid that got thrown out of the gym for fighting the entire gym.
Exactly.
So
I didn't put the screws to him. I didn't put the screws to him, and look, he lost his mind.
So what
could you have done different? I wasn't on him enough. I wasn't disciplined on him as a coach enough, and this guy went rogue, and that reflects poorly on me. So I take full responsibility for that.
No, it's not. It's his responsibility. Fuck bullshit.
Well, no, but it's my job. Look, all these guys are animals in this room, so obviously I got to take that into account when they get into a hypo-focused state, because when they're on kill mode, berserker mode, whatever you want to call it, bro, anything will set them off. Anything will happen. Like, they'll start throwing. So I know that. I bake that into my training. So is going to be more disciplined around here, and it starts with me.
Don, did you ever have someone you were coaching that you wish you would have coached differently?
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. I wish I'd have fucking opened up the door and kicked them out of the fucking gym.
Why? They were because they're behaving, or they weren't trying hard enough, or what?
Yeah, they weren't trying hard enough, and you tell them one thing, and they would argue with you. And it's like, don't argue with me. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. But they thought they knew everything, but then they end up having a shitty record. And who do they blame when they have a shitty record? Their coach.
The worst is when the parents blame you. Because, like, coaching wrestling, you either had kids that were super athletic that were just doing it that you had to kind of, like, all right, this is great. I got football players. Great. Or you had parents that their kid had failed in every single sport, and they were just like, this was the last hope of, like, hey, fix my kid. And I'm like, okay, I have your kid 2 hours a week.
That's eighth grade wrestling.
And eighth grade wrestling. You had your kid your whole life. Like, right. I will do my best with this, but there's only so much I can do, you know, with this. And I have to undo. And the kid would go out and lose. And sometimes the parents would blame me. I'm like, no, this is a time thing. It's a time. It's a dedication. It's this and that. Also parents that think that they know more than the coach is brutal. It's a little easier in wrestling because the kid actually, you know, either he'll win or he'll lose. But it's got to be much harder in like a soccer where every parent thinks their kid's the best soccer player. So that's got to be way harder. All right. The Italian dictator Mussolini's granddaughter won six-figure payday on Celebrity Big Brother in Europe.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Hitler's granddaughter just got voted off the biggest Fuhrer. So Celebrity Big Brother Mussolini.
Hey, Pol Pot's daughter used to be his son, but moved to Thailand and got a surgery.
That's perfect, actually. Mussolini's granddaughter. I mean, look, everyone deserves a fresh start, but that's kind of a weird celebrity, right?
Gender reassignment surgery? Are you kidding me? That's not a news start.
No, I'm talking about Mussolini's granddaughter. Bill, did you know about this?
I didn't know, but wait, do you know, some other comics just came in.
Adam Hunter.
Yes. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. that dude's hilarious.
He is hilarious, yeah.
I love you.
I think I'm gonna have to go. I think I'm gonna go, Adam, because people are coming in and guys get my.
Where are you?
I love you guys.
Where are you?
I'm at the Vegas Laugh Factory.
Oh, nice. All right, take care, brother.
All right, bye-bye.
So the CEO of Trader Joe's shut down the rumor that checkout employees are trained to flirt with customers.
They hire maniacs at Trader Joe's. It's all weirdos. It's all people who will talk to you just like I do. So, like, I'm always in a conversation with a midget or with, like, a elderly man or a woman, a fat guy who's, like, showing me how to get the damn bars. But he's walking so slow. I'm in a hurry. This guy's walking 3.2 meters per second. Then, you know what I mean? Then a Mexican girl gives me an attitude like I'm trying to flirt with her when I'm just trying to be nice and tell her about the shop next door. You know, it's a wild place. Everyone's a traitor.
All right. Matt Rife and Owen Wilson are starring in a new comedy movie with Travis Scott where they try to attend the Travis Scott concert. But in real life, 10 people died at the Travis Scott concert.
Oh, perfect. And they trampled everyone in Astroworld?
Yeah, in Astroworld. But this is a comedy. It's a comedy about they're going to... Like,
it is pretty hilarious to get smashed to death at a concert that you snuck into.
Like, but it has nothing to do with that actual concert. It's a whole different movie. But they just put Travis Scott as the part of the guy in the concert. Like, they probably could have cast someone else.
Definitely not, because it's viral. It wasn't his fault the kids jumped the fence, you know what I mean?
I don't know. It's just... That's kind of rough. You guys, Don, are you following the Maine Senator Graham Plattner candidate?
No, I'm not.
So the head
the Nazi?
The Nazi. Yeah, the guy who didn't know that he had a Nazi tattoo.
Pick me. I know the answer to that one.
Yeah. So now he posted about how he used to love to masturbate in porta potties.
They found one of his old Reddit posts. Why would you want to masturbate? In a, I can't think of a worse place to masturbate than
a freak.
Well, this guy's obviously a freak. Neither of you guys have scooped up some of that blue goo for the lube. It's something to write home about, guys. I'm telling you. Once you go Smurf, you'll never go back.
A tech company in San Francisco is holding sperm races on tiny tracks, or now you could bet on sperm. Jason, I hear you can't wait to taste the victory.
Hey, listen, I was going to say, are you at the bottom of this funnel doing a break dance? Oh, my goodness. The sperm will run twice as fast if your gaping mouth is right there, Adam. Dirtbag. Hey, man, he's trying to get me immediately because you're on the other side of Okinawa doing a USO. Hey, bro, the farther you are on Earth, the braver you are. Talk shit to me.
I'm going to be on the moon.
Yeah.
Hey, what
yeah. up? Elon Musk is going to book you for a 6-week tour of Mars so you can talk shit to me for an 8-minute interval because the sound waves go over you. Fucking asshole. Jesus Christ, bro.
We talked about the Ronda thing before you here, but what did you think of the Ronda Gina fight, Jason?
I mean, bro, you can see me on the replay walking up and down the aisles going, wah-ha-ha-ha, laughing so hard.
You were there?
As soon as she got tripped, I walked off. I said, well, the fight is over. I thought it was going to be a little tussle. Somebody going to teach her how to wrestle, but nope. Hey, that Mandalorian money was so too good, bro. She just stayed on the couch and didn't wrestle for a while.
Now they're saying that she might fight Holly Holm on Netflix next.
That'll be dope. That'll be a nice revenge match for Ronda. I think she could
do it. No, Gina.
Perfect. Because I was saying, please, God, let Gina fight one more time. That's a good fight for her.
Gina might fight Holly Holm.
Good.
Do people just want to see her get her ass kicked? Like, I don't know who Gina can beat. There's got to be someone she can beat, but I don't think it's going to be anyone who's fought in the last 5 years in the UFC.
Who cares? What are we doing here? Do you know what I'm saying? You want a job or what? Stop talking shit about MVP.
They have enough people working for them. It's fine. But Scott Coker.
Do they? Because I was there live at the event. And there were some gaps and problems, and it wasn't quite up to snuff production. They need a spec in to a stage manager.
They definitely need a stage manager. They need somebody to take control of that shithole production because it's a fuck up.
Scott Coker announced today he secured $60 million.
Who?
Scott Coker, your old boss.
Who? Fuck that. He was never my boss. I was stuck with them.
You were okay. Well, Scott Coker, did you just tell me to, like, you ever want to work for somebody? And I literally bring up and you say, fuck him. He just said $60 million he got in securing funding. Tony Hawk is involved.
Oh my God, Scott Coker's the man, bro. I take everything back I say.
And he says that he wants to, it's a legitimate organization starting next year. That could be interesting.
How did he get all that money, bro? Now I have to be friends with him?
Why don't you like Scott Coker?
I'm just kidding, bro. I don't know, because I'm just trying to be avant-garde.
No, but I'm saying, but didn't you were when you were in Strikeforce, he was the guy in charge, right?
I think he hates my guts because I got MMA kicked off CBS for 10, 20 years.
You also got a jillion people watching it. And then you also fought after that for the company, right?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't remember who we're talking about exactly. Who the hell is Scott Coker?
He was the head of Strikeforce, and then he was the head of Bellator for a while.
Chinese guy looking?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Now I'm a totally different guy, but my bad.
he's a guy, though, that for real, I don't know about TKO, but Scott Coker legitimately could run an organization. Because I think the closest
Strikeforce guy. Now yes. I know who you're talking about. Hey, what? How did he get $65 million to make Strikeforce Part 3? What is going on here, B? Who gave him that? Steven Seagal?
Let me see if I get. Let me see.
What?
You know what I mean? Come with some weird factoids, please. All right, and Scott Don Coker. Fry, can you fix your camera? You've been sideways the whole time.
All right, so Scott Coker. All right. Scott
Coker. Gotta charge my phone.
Former Bellator and Strikeforce boss Scott Coker to launch new Fight League. Former Bellator and Strikeforce boss Scott Coker has announced plans to launch a Fight League that will become a global brand in MMA. It's backed by $60 million in funding. He stated it will involve investors within sport, media, technology. His last major role was at Bellator. Where before he goes, I knew I'd be come back when the time was right, when the right vision and carefully assembled team. Time has arrived. There's a huge demand for a new global brand in MMA. Details, structure are yet to be announced. The Fight League suggests it may adopt a round robin structure.
Wait, what is so special about Scott Coker that they gave him a league? Like, you know what I'm saying? This guy just has like a great team or something, or you know what I'm saying? Like, he just is so handsome and so good at talking. Like, he's like goes into your dreams. He's like, start the reactor. And you're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why? I don't understand.
I have no idea.
All he just does business good. He got a lot of money or something.
All I know
is he like Triad or something? I don't know what's going on, bro. This guy's got a lot of money, huh?
All I know is Tony Hawk is behind it also.
Time out. How is Tony Hawk getting the MMA? Don't call mayhem. He knows me.
So it says the MMA, the Hollywood Reporter says the MMA League, Scott Coker, $60 million, including financing, including from Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk kicked in on the MMA project, bro. I'm hurt. I'm hurt that he didn't say that.
It's basically... It's a venture with funding led by investment firm Creator Sports Capital and Griffin Gaming Partners. Additional investors include Upper Deck, Steve Kaplan, the owner of DC United.
They really got themselves together, huh?
Swimmy Manami, a founder
of Google. This will be a big deal, huh?
Tony Hawk.
But only $60 million so far. What are they going to do with that, you know?
I have no idea, but, you know, I think this is good. I think this is probably a good thing. I think Scott Coker.
Oh, wait, actually, but.
You know.
But it's going to be a third entry in between MVP and UFC. That's what we're going now.
And PFL.
What channel are they going to go? Oh, and PFL, which.
Yeah.
And they're really thinning out the herd, huh?
I don't know. I mean, I think the company's group features former CEO Wade Davis.
But yeah, they're saying all this, but. Bro, we don't watch none of them fight. Where is the fight?
I have no idea.
Who do they sign?
It says that his track record includes the guy who, the guy Levin. He used to represent Randy Couture, Quentin Jackson, invested in World Golf Tour, Major League Volleyball, and a Welsh soccer thing. I have no idea. That's all that's telling people. That's all they're saying. But I think it's good. And I think Scott Coker, though, what I was trying to say is he seems like the kind of guy that cares about the sport first. He seems like he's a guy that, I mean, Strikeforce had some problems, but they were not a joke league. You know, like it didn't seem like they were putting on, you know, guys that were way past their prime or you know, they were developing people. They had guys like you and the Diaz brothers, Jake Shields, and Daniel
Cormier. How'd that work out for them?
Ronda Rousey. They went under. But they had some good stuff. I mean, Don, your thoughts about this?
Pathetic. Just pathetic.
Why is this pathetic?
It's... He's had money before. He's had... two companies before, and he's ran them in a fucking
ground. Yeah, over and over again. Nobody learns, huh? Let's keep giving that guy money. He got an honest face. I bet he's not living in squalor. I bet he's not living in Section 8 housing. I bet he's not, you know what I'm saying? I bet he's not living in a stately mansion. Meanwhile, underneath, went under all the fighters. What the hell, man?
How much did Scott Coker make in his Bellator sale? Right, Bellator sale, Strikeforce. I think he made a lot of money, though. I'm pretty sure he made a lot of money. According to a press release,
sure he did.
He secured. Oh no, it doesn't say how much he made. I don't know what he how much it didn't say how much he made. You know, he's
like, yo, Tony Hawk, give me some of those pro skaters money. And you know what I mean? I promise I'm gonna, this time I'm gonna beat the UFC. What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know. Who knows?
He's not the guy, bro. He's not the guy.
He's not the guy. Who's the guy?
I am.
What are you wearing? A towel?
Yeah, hell yeah, man. You caught me at the gym, bro. You're the one on this weird-ass schedule. Like, I'm, like, in the middle of my day. You're over there sipping a cup of cocoa latte.
I got two shows. I got a show in an hour in Singapore on a boat, on a ship. And then I got another listen, for the military.
I ain't mad at your gay cruises, all right? I ain't mad at them. I'm
going to try to secure right now. I'm bringing fighters over there. And Don, I'd love to bring you over here for the military to help run clinics. Jason, you also.
Yeah.
I just got to figure out about like.
Love it. Love it. We'll do it in a minute. Come on.
Jason,
let's go.
I know. I got to just figure out if you can get by on the.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah. Okay.
He's by. He get by. He's by.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, listen, what do you got coming up, Jason?
Yeah, I don't know. Shit. Whatever. I'm mayhem.
By the way,
I'll
what were you doing? What were you doing at Rolling Loud on stage? What was
bro? I was wrecking kids. I was snatching midgets off the ground. I was doing front flips over them. It was a regular old sideshow circus, bro. I'm in it.
Okay, but can you? What a band paid you, or the festival paid you, or what happened?
Filthy.
All right, thanks, Jason. All right, so Don, what do you have? What do you have coming up?
In 2 days, I go down to the Indian Casino here, Desert Diamond Casino in Tucson. Shannon Rich is putting on Rage in a Cage.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
I love that.
Yeah, it took over the promotion, and he's putting on an event, and I'll be there. Mark Coleman will be there, and so it'll be a good show.
I love it. Jason, what do you have coming up?
My blood pressure, bro. I got to get that shit down or my head's going to pop.
I'll be at the Toledo Funny Bone next for Thursday. And then I'm in Little Rock at the Loony Bin in Little Rock. Thank you, Don. You're the best. And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks.